Please open in your Bibles to Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6 we'll be considering this morning. As I said, I was away this week at ETS, so I have not going into 3 John this week. We're going to have a shorter consideration of Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6 this morning. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word this morning, and that the life and the experience and the sentiments of this psalmist would be true of us as well, as you work these things in us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray you would remind us this morning of the great blessing it is to have you as our refuge. And Lord, we pray you would cause from our hearts joy to overflow out of our lips in praise to you. We pray you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, whenever you find yourself troubled or distressed or stressed or facing the travails of life, where do you often go or turn for relief or for comfort or even for escape? What do you do to find a refuge, or what do you find to be a refuge for you whenever life really starts to press in? I mean, maybe some of you like to go to the beach to bask and bathe in the sun hundreds of miles away from the home. Maybe it's to go on a Caribbean cruise in the warm weather, or maybe in an Alaskan cruise in the cooler weather. Maybe some of you like to go somewhere into the woods as far away from civilization as possible, hoping that you won't run into anybody for hours or even days on end. Maybe some of you like to lock yourselves in a very hot sauna and then immediately dive into a frigid cold plunge, which is something that I like to do, which might seem a little crazy to you. Maybe it's spending time at home with your family, or maybe it's escaping for a little bit from your family to your room to get a little bit of alone time, a little bit of a refuge there. Maybe you like to get lost in a book. Possibly it's binging on one of your favorite TV shows on Netflix, or playing hours and hours of video games, or whatever it may be. Yeah, there's lots of places to go, things to do, to find relief, to find escape, to get away from the difficulties of life. And I would say that probably at different times in my life, I would be willing to do any of these things just to get out of the hardships that I find myself in. I do particularly like to go camping in the fall if I ever had that opportunity again. I like to read and study God's Word. I do like to spend time with my family and kids. But I remember a time in particular back whenever I was in seminary. It was quite a few years ago. It was after morning worship on the Lord's Day that some family members invited us over to their home. And they were celebrating a birthday party, and so we went over there to spend the afternoon and have lunch there with them. But one of the rather difficult parts about that situation was that everyone there was an unbeliever. And they were the unbelievers of the sorts who had absolutely no fear of God in their lives. And it showed by the way they spoke and acted and interacted with one another, even with us. And it was actually a very difficult time for my wife and me to be there, especially with our two little boys at the time. Our souls were troubled being there. We were tormented in heart and soul being there. Well, then we left and we arrived at our congregation in the evening for evening worship. And I remember walking into the building and sitting down in the pews and just sighing with relief to be in that place that evening. How sweet it was to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. And we gave hearty thanks to God that night because we could be with him and with his people in that particular way. It was a sweet place of refuge and rest for us that day. Well, that's not the first time that a believer expressed thankfulness to be in the Lord's house for something like this. Over and over again in the scriptures, we see God's people in some manner of distress, whether it's great or whether it's small, and yet God provides for them, he sustains them, and they give thanks to the Lord. And that's what we see in our text today. We see David experiencing the trials of life. Enemies had mounted up against him, surrounding him even at this point. And yet God provides a refuge, and this leaves David to praise and thank the Lord. And that's really my hope for you this morning as well, that as we consider God's word here, you will give thanks to the Lord for the refuge that he provides. Give thanks to the Lord for the refuge he provides. And one of the first things that David clues us into here in the first three verses is the reality that the enemies of the believer torment the people of God. The enemies of the believer torment the people of God. They are the ones who bring distress and anxiety and travail into the life of the believer. And we see that in verses 1 through 3. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." There's a lot of confidence here in David, for sure. But listen to some of the words that he uses, even in the midst of that confidence. His enemies surround him. They're going to eat up his flesh, right? They're encamped around him. They assail me, he says. And so this wasn't an easy situation for David. This was hard for David. A bad situation, a difficult point in his life. Now, Calvin, whenever he's commenting on this text, thinks that this is after the Lord delivered David that he writes this psalm, so he can give thanks to the Lord because he has been delivered. So David is praising God for the deliverance he's previously received. But even despite that reality, and despite this expression of faith here, David identifies his enemy's assaults against him. David faced the hardships and pains of life, enemies that caused him sorrow, pain, and suffering. And this was not the first time or the only time this happened in David's life. And friends, this is not just a one-time thing in Scripture either. But ever since the fall, God's people have been at war. There have been enemies who bring difficulty and pain and fear and despair and anxiety and stress into the lives of God's people. Ever since God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and your seed and her seed," God's people have had enemies in this world. And you see this conflict over and over again throughout the scriptures, don't you? Cain kills Abel. The righteous soul of Lot is tormented day by day in Sodom, according to Peter. Job is afflicted by Satan himself and receives no comfort at all from his friends. Dinah is violated by the wicked in this world. Joseph is treated cruelly by his brothers, and then when he receives some measure of relief and prospers, is then tempted to sin by Potiphar's wife, and is lied about, and then falls back into difficulty. God's people are oppressed in Egypt for 400 years. And then even when they're set free, they are harried by the enemy all the way to the promised land. And even when they are settled and prosperous in the land, the faithful have to endure the continual degradation of society during the time of the judges and even during the united and divided kingdoms. God's faithful prophets are scorned and rejected and killed. God's people are again brought into captivity. Daniel and his friends are pressed, tempted, and tried many times, and on it goes, doesn't it? Even to the coming of Christ, when the Son of God himself comes into the world, comes to those that he had made, and yet he is despised and rejected by men and put to death on a Roman cross. And the same story goes for the saints of the New Testament. All throughout church history, even on to our present day, there's conflict between God's people and God's enemies. And we see it in our own lives as well. You experience the troubles and pain and suffering of life in this world from the enemies of God. We struggle with the enemies in this world, and I'm not speaking about particular people that we can identify as our enemies, but I can even step back and speak more generally of those three great enemies of the Christian that our forefathers had spoken of so robustly: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world tempts us to find rest and contentment and security in the things that are passing away instead of the eternal things of God. The flesh drives us to pursue our own passions as the source of pleasure and fulfillment, satisfaction and comfort instead of the delight of the Lord. And even the devil tempts us to sin and to call into question what we believe about God and what God has said about us as his children. And we experience the effects of the curse as our bodies grow old and decay, and we become ever more aware of the looming specter of death in our lives. We know these enemies well. But even beyond these, there are those hard providences to experience, as well as those difficult relationships with people in our lives who aren't even our enemies, but friends and family, which brings stress and frustration and sadness and brokenness, all which weigh down upon us, exhausting us and discouraging us. Those things which those other three enemies use to their advantage, to press their advantage even more upon our souls. And while David expresses his faith in the Lord's deliverance from these things, and we're encouraged to do likewise by the reminders that the Lord is our light in the dark areas of our life and our salvation to be delivered from such things in verse 1, and that our enemies will ultimately stumble in verse 2, there is still a desire for comfort, isn't there? There is still a desire for comfort in the presence of the Lord. Look at verses 4 through 5. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. So despite the difficulty David experiences, he finds comfort. He finds security and peace and a refuge in the Lord's house, in the presence of the Lord. Because not only would he find physical safety in the presence of God from his enemies, but he also delights in the experience of God's worship, to be with his people. He finds delight and security in the consistency of that worship, even. He delights in hearing anew the promises of God made to him. He enjoys the community of believers, the way in which loving and caring relationships exist in the household of faith. These things are a shelter to him, a covering, a solid rock on which to stand, a place of safety in the day of trouble. And friends, is this not what the church is? A place of comfort, security, peace, and a refuge. The church is a refuge to the people of God. It is the caring arms of Jesus himself. The church is the place that provides a Christ-infused, a Holy Spirit-infused community where loving and caring relationships can exist, a refuge from the world, from living in this world that is a world that is in enmity with its Creator and its Redeemer. It's a place where families are supported and encouraged to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, a bulwark against the secular philosophies and psychologies of our day. The consistency of the doctrine and worship of the church, founded upon the solid rock of God's Word, is a refuge and a comfort in an ever-changing and ever-decaying society. The church is a comfort and a refuge to those afflicted, even in conscience, due to falling into sin because of the passions of their own flesh and the wiles of the evil one. Because it's in the church, especially in the worship of God, where the people of God are reminded of the covenant promises of their Savior, that his work has been accomplished on their behalf. And if they confess their sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. The strong tower of the church is the place in which Jesus even exercises his office as a king in ruling and defending his people through the courts of the church against those false teachers who would lead God's people astray, and even against those wolves among the flock who would devour the sheep. The church is even a place to meet the needs of and minister to people when they are at a physically more vulnerable time in their lives. Through the caring hands of the deacons, the church can be a refuge to meet the physical needs of God's people. How beautiful the church is. How wonderful a refuge and place of comfort the church can be. A shelter of the Lord, a place of safety in the day of trouble. It is in the church that believers can receive comfort from the Lord in a similar way to how David experienced comfort from the Lord. And because of the comfort from the Lord, we're encouraged to give praise to God. We're encouraged to give praise to God. Look at verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So because of the refuge and ministry of the Lord's house, David's head is lifted with encouragement. His heart is raised in praises to God. And though his trials and enemies don't necessarily go away, he's encouraged and supported through his afflictions by the goodness that God provides. For how much better is it to experience the difficulties of this life in the context of the Lord's courts than to experience them anywhere else? And so he praises the Lord for it. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And that's one of the things that we do every time we come to worship. When we come to worship the Lord, we come to the Lord's house with a sacrifice, don't we? We come to the Lord's house with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips for who he is and what he has done, what he continues to do. And even though we still experience the difficulties of life to one degree or another, how much better it is to experience them in the context of this church, with the promises and the people of God. It's through this provision of God that our hearts can be encouraged and sustained. How good it is of God to give us the church to shelter us in our days of trouble. And we should thank God for that. We shouldn't take this community for granted. God has given us a good gift. But something we need to remember, brothers and sisters, is that these physical places of worship and the temporal experiences we have in them, and even with one another as the church, can fail and can come to an end. And our lasting hope and reliance cannot be upon particular places or particular people in this world. Consider David again. He was driven from the Lord's house several times. He was separated from the people of God numerous times. Even his closest friend became his enemy in his life. The temple of God itself was sacked and destroyed more than once. And even all we see around us and experience here and around us today in God's providence may someday come to an end. And we know we ourselves will. We will eventually pass away. And we know all too keenly how hardships have come even from within the church. How there have been much sadness and betrayal in the church. And again, those enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, want to capitalize on those things and use those things to overshadow and to sour all of the good gifts that the church is for his people. That when we think about the church, when we think about the Lord's refuge and the comfort that can be received by it, that all we can then think about and see are the hardships and the bad things and the evil things and the wicked things, so that we can't even then find comfort in the good gift of the church that he's given to us. And we need to guard our hearts against that. Again, the Lord has given us a blessed place to be. And yet the reality is it's still broken. It's still fallen. Things still come to an end. Places, relationships, people, our very lives. Which is why, friends, in all of this, our ultimate hope and refuge must be in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It must be in Christ himself. The hope, comfort, security, refuge, and peace that David experiences are not simply from good friends. It's not simply from good fellowship and kindness and the encouragement of the Lord's house, but it's ultimately from the Lord himself. This is ultimately why he loves and desires the Lord's house, because the Lord is his light and his salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of his life. The Lord is his shelter. The Lord is his covering. The Lord is his rock. And friends, this too is where your hope and comfort and security and refuge and peace must be found. It must be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no other. Not only is there no other hope or comfort or refuge, but there is no other Jesus Christ. As my wife is so apt to remind me over and over again, we cannot look to other people or institutions or situations to be Christ for us in our lives. Because everything falls short of the glory and majesty and perfection of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. No one in this world can measure up to him. He alone is our Savior. So our spouses cannot be that Savior. Our elders cannot be that Savior. Our institutions cannot be that Savior. Our programs cannot be that Savior. Our friendships cannot be that Savior. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus. He is the only hope and comfort and security we can have. For it is only he who can fully and finally deliver you from all of your troubles, all of your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, even death. Because Jesus Christ is the one who lived and died and rose again to save you from your sins. Your whole body and soul will be lifted up above your enemies for all eternity. Friends, there may be many places in this life, many people even, to which you would run to find security, peace, refuge, and rest. But friends, there's only one place where you will truly find it. And that is in the one who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The one who said, "Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls." The Lord Jesus is your light and salvation. The Lord Jesus is the stronghold of your life. The Lord Jesus is your ultimate hope and refuge. And for this, friends, let us sing and make melody to the Lord for this refuge that He has provided. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we pray that You would please work in our hearts to orient them rightly, that they would be fixed on Jesus and Jesus alone for our true hope and comfort and peace. And yes, may we be thankful to You for all of those ways to us that You have been kind to bless us and encourage us through the things in this world, like the church and the people in it, and the different relationships and experiences we have. But Lord, we know these pass away. Lord, help us never to replace You with them. But always, Lord, lead us to love You and rest upon You alone for all that You are and all that You do and will do for us. Lift our eyes up and our hearts up that we might look down upon our enemies in victory, a victory that's only found in our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.